Good evening, Fellowship Midtown. And if we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Mark Henry. I'm one of the teaching pastors at Fellowship, and it's probably been since the summertime since I've been able to jump in and be here. And don't tell the other campuses that we have, but this is my favorite campus, okay? And yes, it's okay, yes. And I'll tell you why is because about 5 or 6 years ago, God really birthed a dream in me and in us as a church to see a community of faith down in this part of our city. And so it just brings great joy to my heart to be in front of you tonight and see God deliver on that great promise. So it's really good to be with you and excited about what we're going to be talking about tonight. Really, to get us started, I'd like to see by show of hands, how many of you have been to the Cheesecake Factory? Come on. Wow. This, man, a lot of folks, the Cheesecake Factory. And I love the Cheesecake Factory. Now, when I say I love the Cheesecake Factory, I love the Cheesecake Factory. I mean, my Waze app, when I'm within 50 miles of a Cheesecake Factory, it knows exactly where to take me, right? That's how much I love the Cheesecake Factory. One of the things that I love about the Cheesecake Factory, and maybe you can resonate with this if you've ever been there before, is the options and the choices that you have at the Cheesecake Factory. I think that's one of the things that I really love about it. When they bring that menu out to you, I looked it up this week. That Cheesecake menu, or Cheesecake Factory menu, it's 21 pages. It has over 250 items on this menu. I mean, literally, you can get anything you want at the Cheesecake Factory. You can get salads, you can get sandwiches. Oh, I want a steak. Guess what? You can get a steak. No, I want Chinese food. Guess what? You can get Chinese food. You can get everything. There are so many options. There are so many choices. Really, one of the most challenging things when you go to the Cheesecake Factory is it takes forever to decide, particularly with my family, there are six of us, to make a decision about what you're going to order, right? And then they bring the food out. Man, if you've been there, I mean, the portions are huge. They make a big man like me smile. I can just tell you. They bring those out, but that's not even the best part of the Cheesecake Factory. What's the best part of the Cheesecake Factory? Cheesecake. Yes, the cheesecake. 34 flavors of cheesecake, 34. And every one of them, trust me, is incredible. All of them. See, we love places like the Cheesecake Factory that give us all of those options, all of those choices. We like things that give us options and choices. Now, the reason I share that with you tonight is Jesus is going to say something to us that may be a little bit hard for us to hear because we are people that like options and choices. And Jesus, interestingly enough, is going to say that when it comes to the most important decision that you need to make in your life and that I need to make in my life, that there's not five options, there's not 100 options, there's not 21 pages worth of options, there's only two options. Only two. To the most important decision that you need to make in your life. And what is that most important decision? Well, the most important decision that we have to make in our life is where are we going to find life? Now, listen to me. When I talk about life, and when Jesus talks about life, he's not talking about health and wealth and prosperity. He's not talking about being happy and rich. Jesus is talking about something so much deeper than that. Jesus is talking about this abundant life that we can have. This spiritual life where Jesus is at the center of our life, where Jesus changes everything about us, changes our relationships, changes the direction of our life, changes the meaning of our life, changes the purpose of our life. That's what Jesus is talking about. And Jesus is saying, when it comes to finding that kind of life, we have a decision to make. We have a choice to make. And there's only two options. So here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to grab your Bible if you brought one with you tonight, or maybe you like to use your phone. There's a great app out there called YouVersion, Y-O-U Version. Man, download that app on your phone. It's a great tool to study and learn more about the Bible. But we're going to look at this at Matthew chapter 5 is where you need to jump in with me. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is what we've been looking at. And we've been studying this as a church family. And the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' most famous sermon. And Jesus has been teaching us a lot. And the sermon is about to take a turn because Jesus is now going to move to application. That's what most good communicators do. They want to teach you something and then they're going to try to move to application. Jesus is not someone that just wants you to admire his teaching. Jesus is someone who wants you to follow his teaching, to obey his teaching. And so Jesus now, starting here in chapter 7, in this section that we're going to look at, he's going to begin to shift and challenge us that we have a decision to make about where we're going to find this life that he's been teaching us about in chapter 5 and in chapter 6 and at the first part of chapter 7. And here's what he says. We've heard it read here just a minute ago, but let's read it again. Verse 13 of chapter 7. Jesus says this, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Now, I want to break this up into really three questions. And if you're a note taker, you'll see those questions there on your outline. And these are questions that I want you to ask of yourself. These aren't questions that I want you to think or ask about your spouse if you happen to be married, or your friend, or someone you're with. These are personal questions that I think you need to be asking of yourself, that Jesus wants us to ask of ourselves tonight. Here's the first one. The first question is this: which road are you going to choose? Which road are you going to choose? Because Jesus says we have a choice to make. And here, interestingly enough, Jesus uses a metaphor. He says that there's actually two roads. And he says that on these two roads, there's two different kinds of people. And he says, interestingly enough, that these two distinctive roads lead entirely to two different destinations. He talks about a wide road. Notice that. He talks about a wide road. He tells us that on this wide road that the walking is easy. It's easy to walk on the wide road. Jesus says that, in fact, that when you walk on the wide road, you feel secure because when you look around, there's actually a lot of people walking through this wide gate or this wide way or this wide road. Jesus says very clearly, though, that the people that are walking on the wide road, that this road eventually leads to destruction, to death, to hopelessness. Then Jesus introduces us, notice, to a different road or a different gate. He talks about this narrow road. He says it's distinctive, then it's different than the wide road. In fact, he says there's not many people on this road. And he said, actually, the walking on this road is much harder. It's much more challenging, but Jesus is pushing us and challenging us because he's saying, this is the road that actually leads to true life, real life. Jesus is reminding us here that the road we choose really matters. And the reason it matters is because your direction determines your destination. Think about that. Your direction determines your destination. And Jesus says there's only two destinations. And Jesus is saying that one direction leads to destruction and one leads to life. And Jesus is urging us to step onto that narrow road, the road that leads to life, to real life. Indeed, Jesus didn't just say this here in the book of Matthew. He said this elsewhere in the scriptures. He said this in the Gospel of John, for example. He uses this similar language of gate and road and way to talk about this important choice or decision that all of us have to make. Listen to what he says in John 10:9. This may be a passage or a verse that's familiar to some of you. He says, I am, this is Jesus speaking, I am the door or the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Another one, John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way or the road, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is even reminding us here in the Gospel of John that we all come to this crucial point in our life where we have to make a decision about where we're going to find real life, real life. Here in the book of Matthew, Jesus is talking about this narrow road, this narrow gate, and this wide gate and this wide road. Here's Jesus, he's closing out the Sermon on the Mount for that audience, and he's closing it out for all of us here, and he's saying that the most important decision you're gonna make in your life is what road you're gonna travel on, what path you're gonna walk, because your direction that you walk is ultimately gonna determine the destination of your life. You know, I've been thinking about this narrow road and this wide road really in relation to my own life. Some of you in here I know, and some of you in here know my story, but I grew up really far from God. And I spent a lot of time on the wide road, chasing after everything but God, chasing after sin in my life. In fact, I got voted most changed at my 10-year reunion, got voted most changed at my 20-year high school reunion. At my 30-year reunion, they didn't take a vote, so I'm still the reigning champ, okay? But I spent a lot of time. I was blessed enough that I received an athletic scholarship. I went right over here to Little Rock Central and received an athletic scholarship, went to the University of Arkansas. And I tell you, if you're on the wide path, you're on the wide road, that's a great place to go. Because I'll tell you something, there's a lot of people walking the wide road up there. And I began to throw myself into all kinds of things up there at the university. All kinds of things that I thought would bring me life. Things now that I deeply regret in my own life and in my own story. And I know God's used that in a way to shape who I am today. But nonetheless, I know the hurt and the pain of walking on that wide road. I had a young man in my life, his name was Ted, and Ted was walking on the narrow road. He was a teammate of mine, and ever so often he would tell me, you know what, I don't think that's life. I think you need to follow Jesus. And when I looked at my life and I looked at the life of Ted, they were wildly different. And one night, I finally said, I want what you have. I want what you have. And in that moment, by the grace of God, God opened up my eyes to the hope and the love and the forgiveness of Jesus. And I began to follow Jesus, and I stepped on to the narrow road. And in that moment, Jesus didn't just change my eternal destiny and destination, he changed everything about me. He changed all of my relationships. He changed all of my emotions. He changed my purpose. He changed my meaning for life. Jesus changed everything about me in that moment. And friends, let me tell you something. Some 30 years later, that is the greatest decision that I have ever made in my life. To finally, by God's grace and mercy, move off of the wide road onto the narrow road. It's the greatest decision I've ever made. But at the same time, at the exact same time, it's also the most difficult decision that I've ever made. Because now some 30 years later, I'll tell you that walking on the narrow road is hard. Man, it's challenging. It's difficult. There have been moments when I've been on the narrow road that I have felt incredibly lonely. There have been times on this narrow road where I have felt betrayed and hurt by people who say they love Jesus. There have been times on this narrow road where I have become so frustrated and disappointed, honestly, that I've wanted to give up on Jesus in this broken world. Because walking the narrow road is hard. There have been times that I've been on the narrow road, maybe at my worst moments, where I began to think in my mind and dream in my mind, I wonder what it would be like to maybe walk on the wide road. It looks like at times when you're on the narrow road, everybody on the wide road, they seem to be having fun. And there have been some times, maybe in times and seasons of my life, where I've just felt kind of disappointed, maybe hurt, maybe let down by God, that I kind of thought to myself, well, maybe there's a third option. Maybe there's not really two options. Maybe there's not just you don't just have to choose the narrow road or the wide road. Maybe there's a third option. You know what the third option is? The third option is when you think you can somehow kind of straddle each road. You ever done that in your life? See, there have been seasons in my life, and this is about as wide as I can get, okay? Where I, in my own mind, in my own heart, I thought, you know what? Maybe what I'll do is I'll kind of keep one foot in the narrow road, and I'll kind of keep one foot on the wide road. What I mean is I'll kind of go over on the wide road, and I'll dabble a little bit, have a little fun, but I'm still going to keep my foot in the narrow road. Now, just suppose for a moment that that's actually an option. I don't think it is an option. But let's just suppose for a moment there is an option that you can actually kind of walk both paths or both roads simultaneously. I don't think you can, but let's just suppose that you can. Can we agree to this, that that's absolutely the worst option? Let me tell you why it's the worst option. That's the worst option because you have too much of Jesus to really enjoy the wide road, and you have too much of the wide road to really enjoy Jesus, right? It's the worst of both options, of all the options, to think somehow that you can kind of straddle and maybe walk down both roads at the same time. So what Jesus is telling us here is that we have a big decision to make. He's saying, listen, there's not five options. There's not even three options. There's two options. And we have a decision to make. And the decision we make will ultimately determine the destination of our lives. We'll either find destruction or we'll find life. So that really leads me to our second question tonight. And here it is. This is a question I want you to ask of yourself. Which road are you walking on? And be honest with yourself. Which road are you walking on? Because Jesus says, really, there's only two roads. Only two. And do you know who's on the wide road? There's actually two kinds of people that are on the wide roads. Let's talk about these two kinds of people for a moment. First is what I call irreligious people. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. These are people who want nothing to do with God or with Jesus. These are people that define morality by their own terms. They're not subjected to God's will. They only subject themselves to their own will. The Bible often refers to these people as lost. They're irreligious. But interestingly enough, there's a second group that's on this wide road. This group may surprise you just a little bit, and I would call this group religious people. Does that surprise you? Religious people, let me help you understand what I mean by when I say religious people. I'm talking about people who are trusting in their own self-righteousness. Jesus has spent a lot of time in the Sermon on the Mount talking to these religious people. So maybe you've heard the groups of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes described in the New Testament, if you've ever spent time in your Bible. And Jesus is addressing these religious leaders by and large in the Sermon on the Mount. What I mean by religious people is people where your internal life and your external life don't match. They're not the same. Who you say you are and what you do aren't consistent. They're not the same. And I'll tell you, it's really easy to be religious at a church where you just kind of fake everything. And can I say this? That's especially true in Little Rock, where you kind of show up, maybe you sit in a pew, you listen to the message, you hang around a little bit, you start to talk some Christianese, you maybe join a D group, you learn how to say certain Christian buzzwords in your D group, you send your kids to a Christian camp, you give your money to the church, you don't drink or smoke or cuss in public, you eat a lot of Chick-fil-A, you listen to Christian music in your car when other people are with you, and you claim The Lord of the Rings as your favorite movie series. Whatever it might be, it's easy to fake it and to play this spiritual game, but not really to know Jesus and to follow Jesus on the narrow road. And I think some of us need to really ask ourselves some hard questions tonight. The question is, are you faking it? Is this a spiritual game to you? What I mean is as you kind of look at your life and you look at what's going on the inside of you and what's going on the outside of you, is it really congruent? Does it really match? Are you really true with who you say you are? Jesus is challenging these religious leaders. He's challenging us, friend. He's saying these people that are on the wide road, these people who are far from God, but it's also these people that have all of the looks of following after Jesus, but their heart, their life has never been truly changed and transformed, where there's no heart change. But you know what? If that's you tonight, by the grace of God, you can start heading in the right direction, the right path. All you have to do is turn to Jesus. There's a choice to be made, a decision to be made. And do you know who's on the narrow road? We know who's on the wide road. It's this irreligious people, these religious people. Who's on the narrow road? Well, I'll tell you what, it's not people who are perfect and have it all together as if that's even possible. Every one of us struggles with sin. By the way, that's why Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount to pray a daily prayer. He said, Father, forgive us of our debts or sins. Why did he say that? Because he knew every single day we would fail and we would need forgiveness. No, the people walking on the narrow road have faith in Jesus and they surrender to him in everything. People on the narrow road, they have faith in Jesus and surrender everything to him. So they come to Jesus not just for salvation, but they come to Jesus really for rulership. They're not just saying, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. They're saying, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to be King of my life. See, to walk on this narrow road, you have to empty yourself, your hands, your heart, your life of every other allegiance. And your only allegiance can be to Jesus and who he is. That's why Jesus says there's a narrow gate, there's a wide gate, there's few people walking through the narrow gate. You know why? Most people don't want to surrender to Jesus. Now, when I'm not talking about surrender, I'm not talking about just surrendering part of yourself. I'm talking about surrendering all of yourself to who Jesus is and what he has for your life, where you do whatever Jesus asks you to do. Friend, that's what it means to walk on this narrow road. This is not for the faint-hearted. This is not easy. This is challenging. It's difficult. When Jesus whispers to his disciples and he whispers to you and he says, come and follow me, what he's saying is, he's saying, give up everything for me. And you do whatever I ask you to do. Man, years ago, I was in a really dark place in my life and in my ministry. I was really struggling. I was disappointed with God. I was frustrated with God. I really felt like God had abandoned me. I felt like God didn't really see me in my pain and in my hurt. And so I decided to meet with another pastor friend of mine, and we met for a while, and I just shared with him kind of my heart and the things that I was going through and the frustrations and the disappointments that I was feeling with God in that moment. I felt like God wasn't holding up his end of the bargain. Here I was doing all of these things and God wasn't doing his part. And I was upset and frustrated. I was expecting this pastor to be empathetic, maybe to drop a nugget of Christian wisdom or so here and there. But instead what he said is, he said, Mark, you know what? I think you have a surrender problem. I'm thinking to myself, man, I just poured my heart out to you. And you're telling me I have a surrender problem. And what he did in that moment, I'll never forget it. He reached into his desk and he pulled out a blank piece of paper like this. He said, Mark, I really think what you're looking for in your relationship with God is an agreement with God. And he said, an agreement with God is different than surrendering with God. Really what you're looking for is you're looking for God to agree with everything. He said, look at this piece of paper. Really what you want is, with an agreement with God, you want to write everything that you want God to do or to make happen in your life, and then you kind of hand that to God and God has to sign it. That's what an agreement with God looks like. And he said to me, but that's not surrender. He said, surrender looks different. He said, Mark, what surrender looks like, and by the way, God doesn't want agreement. He wants your surrender. What surrender looks like is you sign the bottom of this piece of paper and you hand it to God. And then God writes whatever he wants to on that piece of paper. And you trust him. And you believe that what God has for you is best. And whatever God asks you to do, you do. That's what surrender looks like. And see, to walk on this narrow road, it requires surrender. It requires you coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. And part of following Jesus is whatever Jesus asks you to do. That's what it looks like to follow Jesus on the narrow road. Now, my last question for us tonight is this, because some of you may be wondering, kind of almost feel pulled in a way. Maybe you're uncertain. Am I kind of on the wide road or am I on the narrow road? How can I know? Here's my question to you. How can you know you're on the right road? Well, let's look down just a little bit here in the same chapter, chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 17. Look what Jesus says. He says, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. So how do you know if you're on the right road? Well, Jesus tells us here, you inspect the fruit. You need to look at the fruit in your life. That's how you can know if you're on the right road or not. Look at the fruit in your life. I love what Jesus says here. He says you can't fake fruit. He says a healthy tree doesn't produce fruit. He says a healthy tree produces fruit. And so one of the ways that we can look and know and live with confidence that we're on the right road, the narrow road, is we ought to be able to look at our lives and begin to see some fruit. What kind of fruit are we talking about? Well, I think we could go anywhere in a lot of different places in the Bible. Why don't we go to the Sermon on the Mount? Because the Sermon on the Mount, we've been working through that for weeks now. Let's talk about some of the fruit that you should be seeing in your life. Let's go to the Beatitudes. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Do you recognize that you are spiritually bankrupt and that you brought nothing to God? And what that ought to create in you is a deep sense of humility and thankfulness for the grace of Jesus Christ, because everything that you are, everything that you have, even your salvation, is a beautiful gift from Jesus. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Do you show kindness and mercy to others as Jesus has shown kindness and mercy to you? Continuing on in Matthew 5, does anger run and rule your life? As you move into chapter 6, do you have a healthy relationship with money and possessions? Do you live your life in a way where it's not dominated by anxiety and worry? Do you look for proactive ways to love others in your life? When you fail in any of these, do you admit your fault and take the log out of your own eye?" That's the fruit that Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 7. That's what lets you know that you're on the right road. The Apostle Paul said it a different way in Galatians chapter 5. He said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there's no law." That's the fruit that should be coming out of your life as you live and walk on this narrow road. Now, that's not a to-do list. None of us can produce this fruit in and of ourselves. It's the work of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit producing that work in transforming our lives. But we should be able to look at our life and see this progression of our life being changed and transformed, where we're a little bit different than we used to be. And we recognize the work of Jesus in our life. And if you're like me, sometimes you, in seasons, you see that more profoundly in your life than maybe in other seasons of your life. But nonetheless, you see yourself in Christ Jesus on the narrow road. You see the fruit, the work of the Spirit in Jesus in your life, changing you just a little bit, day after day after day. Now, I want to bring us back as we close together to where we started. Because Jesus is really bringing us to the end here, to a decision, to a choice that every single one of us have to make. There's not five options, there's only two options. There's only two kinds of people in this room. There's some of you in this room that are walking on the narrow road. You've come to the place in your life, like I came to, where you said, "Jesus, I want to follow you." You confessed your sin, and through faith, you embraced Jesus Christ. And here's what I want to say to you. I want you to be encouraged. I want to encourage you to keep on the narrow road, to stay after it, because walking the narrow road, it's difficult, it's challenging, it's hard, it's tiring, but friend, it is worth it. It's worth it. Because that's where real life, true life is found. And I know many of you are walking on that narrow road, and my word to you is just stay the course. Stay the course. There's others of you in here. If you're honest with yourself, there's a sense in you, even in this very moment, where you know that you're on the wide road. And you've been looking for life in everything but Jesus, trying to find life, trying to search, but deep down inside, you know that something's missing in your life. And man, some 30 years ago on the outside, you would have never known it. But deep down inside, I knew, man, I'm missing something. My life is wildly different than that guy's life. And I knew what was missing was Jesus. And some of you in here, you know that. And the reason you know it is you're always looking for the next thing, the next relationship, the next deal, the next house, the next car, the next this, the next that, because you're trying to fill that hole in your life. Because you can't quite seem to find what you're looking for. And you're never going to find it on the wide road. You're only going to find that life, and I'm talking about true life, in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And friends, listen to me. Jesus is available to you tonight. That can change tonight. All you have to do is open up your heart and your life and receive the free gift of Jesus. You don't earn it. You don't have to prove yourself. Thank goodness none of us would measure up. It comes to you by way of grace. Jesus has already done all of the work for you. All you have to do is open up your heart and life to him. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you get on the narrow road, it's not like everything becomes easy. It's hard, it's challenging, it's difficult. But friend, it's worth it. Because that's where real life, true life, abundant life is. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the grace and the mercy that we even have the opportunity to be on the narrow road with you. That we have the opportunity for life in you. You've made that possible through your life and your death and ultimately through your resurrection. Lord, I pray for my friends in here that are walking that narrow road that maybe tonight are discouraged, disillusioned, maybe even at a point where they're ready to give up. I pray that you would encourage their heart, that it's worth it. It's worth following you. Even though at times we feel like strangers and aliens in this world, it's worth following you because you're worth it, Jesus. To those that are in here that maybe know that they're walking that wide road, they've maybe never come to the place where they've, through faith in you, Jesus, they've asked you to be the Savior and the Lord, the King of their lives. I pray as only you can do right now, would you stir in their heart? Would you draw them to yourself? And as you challenge them to do here in Matthew chapter 7, would they make the decision to follow you in this beautiful moment? To move from death to life. To move from hopelessness to hope. To move from despair to forgiveness. Would you do that, Jesus? It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening with us today. As you heard in the message, if you have questions or would want to speak with a pastor or even make a decision, you can text the word FOLLOW to the number 501-406-2577. Again, that number is 501-406-2577, and a pastor will get back with you shortly. Thanks again. Have a great week.